you may have heard the story of an optimist. It's kind of been around for a while. An optimistic guy who's really dyed in the wool as an optimist who happened to fall off the Empire State Building. I don't know if you guys have heard about this. He's up there and he comes plummeting down, imminent death and destruction below him. And as he's hurtling down through the air, picking up speed, picking up momentum and energy, as he happens to pass the 65th floor, there's a bunch of people standing by the window and they hear him calling out as he's going down, "Safe so far!" Now we can chuckle at that and say, yeah, that guy is an optimist, you know. Because, I mean, after all, doesn't hurt on the way down. Praise God. But let me just change the old story a little bit, just for conversation's sake. What if, instead of simply falling, what if he had a parachute strapped to his back? And as he was plummeting down through the air, heading for what to everybody else seems like imminent destruction, he's passing by and on the 65th floor they hear him say, "Safe so far," and he goes down and he smacks the concrete without opening the parachute. You know? Not pretty. What, you know, I know you weren't expecting that. I know you were expecting what you were expecting him to do. In that case, now here's a guy who so optimistic that to him to pull the cord would just go against everything in his nature, because it would say to him, that's an act of pessimism. Man, if I keep falling, it's going to be bad. It's going to be horrible. It's going to be death and destruction and carnage and gore. So he says, I'm an optimist. I'm just going to believe for the best. I'm not going to cave into that doubt. I'm not going to act on disbelief and pessimism. I'm going to hold fast to the end. I'm safe so far. Everything is going to be good. And when I get down there, it's all going to work out all right. Would you call that guy an optimist? I call him an idiot. You know, at some point he ceases being an optimist and starts to become an idiot. Now, if there's any idiots in here today, I don't mean to, you know, speak badly of you. I love you very much. We welcome you here, and we want you to feel at home. But, you know, frankly, man, come on. But, you know, spiritually speaking, that is exactly how many people handle their eternal destiny. They're optimistic about it. They really have no reason to be optimistic about it. They have no basis for their faith. If you ask them, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? They're like, well, yeah, sure, you know. Why? Well, I don't know, you know. I mean, I'm all right. I've never murdered anybody or anything like that. They feel like they've done well for themselves. I mean, well-meaning, nice people, intelligent people, people you'd meet out on the street, and yet tragically misled, because Scripture paints an entirely different picture for you and for me, for people in general all over the world. First of all, as you may have known, the Bible says that we are all sinners. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, all means all. It means me included. I have sinned, you have sinned, we've all messed up. We've all done what God has said not to do and left undone what he said to do. Does anybody doubt that? Is there anybody here who would say, well, so far I've never messed up? Praise God. We're all on the same page. We've all lied. Doesn't the commandment say not to lie? Thou shalt not lie. Is there anybody here who's ever told a lie? Bingo. Okay. You know, we've all been angry without a cause. We've all hated in some respect emotionally, and Jesus said that's the spirit of murder. We've all coveted or lusted, and Jesus said to lust in your heart is the same as committing adultery. We're adulterers at heart. None of us have ever kept the greatest commandment of all. The scribes and Pharisees said to Jesus, what's the greatest commandment of all? He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And most people would say, well, yeah, I really love God. But have we loved him with all of our heart, all of our strength, all of our might? All you have to do is look at your checkbook and that'll tell you whether that's ever happened. Have you ever wasted hours of your day doing something when you could have been praying? And maybe you haven't prayed for weeks. But you watched a TV show you weren't even interested in. You hated it. You threw your cereal at it while it was going on because it's so ridiculous. And you could have been praying for your neighbor. You could have been helping somebody out. Do you love God with all of your heart? I guess we all fall short. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. To make it worse, Romans 6:23, the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Not only physical death, but spiritual death. Eternal separation from God forever in hell. In fact, Scripture calls hell, the lake of fire, the second death. And we're all guilty, and so we're all under the same condemnation. And if based on our performance we were to die and appear before God, we'd kind of be like the guy who fell off the Empire State Building, because right now we are rapidly headed for destruction based on our performance. If we were to stand before the judgment seat of God, we'd be guilty. Would we not be guilty? We would be guilty. But many people, because they are in denial, and the power of denial is amazing, because they are in denial about their hurts and habits and hang-ups and all of their dysfunction, they feel like, well, I don't know. I've done pretty good so far. You know, I've got a nice home, and you know, I'm 3 months behind on the payment, but you know, I'm doing good. I'm safe so far. No reason to believe life is going to change all of a sudden. I've got a nice job, you know. Well, I actually had a nice job. My boss fired me, but you know, it wasn't anything I did. He's just an idiot. He's a jerk. You know, if it wasn't for him, I'd still have that job. And I'm going to show him I'm getting another job real fast. But I had a job, and I've got a nice family. Me and the wife, they were kind of at odds from time to time, and she's, you know, told me she's leaving, and, you know, I had to get my kid out of jail the other day. But, I mean, you know, if they would get their act together, we would really have a nice family, you know? It's them. They just don't know what they're doing. I think I'm doing pretty good. I'm safe so far. And we're like the dude plummeting down towards a appointed time, an appointed meeting with God that according to his word would spell our destruction. They're not safe so far. They're just blind because they don't know. They don't realize. Well-meaning, nice people, intelligent people, people that are warm and friendly. Nevertheless, before God's standard, we have all fallen short. But thank God, he has given us a parachute. Praise God, we have a golden parachute. We have a wondrous parachute. And his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us. Say, towards me. Towards me. That's me personally. That's you personally. Say, that's me. That's me. Own this thing. God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Praise God. The wages of sin is death, but Christ died for us. It is amazing, isn't it? How God the Son, the divine Son of God, laid aside his glory, just set it aside, and came to earth and took on human flesh, became as a little child wrapped in swaddling cloth, grew up, lived a sinless life, became a man, and did that all so that he could bleed and suffer and die upon a cross to take my punishment and your punishment for us, to hang there in our place and let the wrath of God be poured out upon him so that you and I don't have to be judged. How amazing is that? He took our sin upon himself, suffered and died in our place so we could go free. If. Everybody say if. If. If we repent of our sin and put our faith in Christ. One simple thing. It's just one act. We turn from sin. We turn to Christ in faith. We simply say, God, I'm tired of living for myself. I'm tired of living after the world. I'm tired of living a lie. I need a Savior. I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm going to put my faith in Christ. And if we will do that, he washes our slate absolutely, totally, completely, and in every way, shape, and form, clean.